is. Let's go.
There we go.
So this intro story is actually quite old. So I saw a meme pop up on Instagram and it sounded... It was just like... Well, I guess it wasn't a meme. It was just briefly telling this story. And I was like, well, I got to look into this. And I love it. So it's our intro story now. This comes out of Knowledge...
Do we need to change our name to Not So News to Reviews?
More like old news to reviews. Oy. Hey.
Well, half of the time, fake news to reviews.
This comes out of Knowledge Stew. It was written by Daniel Geninja. Greninja.
No, he likes Greninja, the Pokemon.
Yeah. Sure. I would like the same too. That's called a nickname.
In 2014, the state of Colorado responded to a repeated problem of people stealing a particular number on a mile marker sign along an interstate. The Colorado Department of Transportation switched mile marker 420 to 419.99 on Interstate 70 east of Denver because there had been multiple thefts of the 420 sign. The Colorado Department of Transportation said the sign had been changed sometime during 2014 because of the thefts. Why was there a rash of the thefts on the sign? It's believed and probably pretty certain to be because the number 420 is associated with smoking cannabis. At the time of 4:20 p.m. It's also a day of cannabis celebration on April 20th or 4/20 if you do American date format. Colorado hasn't been the only state that has faced this problem. The state of Washington had a problem with the theft of a 4:20 mile marker and replaced the sign with a 4:19.9 in 2019. The state of Idaho also has had issues with thefts of 4:20 mileage marker signs, but the 4:20 sign hasn't been the only numbered sign to get stolen in these states. The Washington Department of Transportation also had to replace a 69 mile marker to 68.9 due to multiple thefts on Route 231 in eastern Washington, and Colorado had to replace a sign to 68.5 due to thefts of the 69 mileage marker. For the case in Washington, the 68.9 sign was even stolen, replaced, and then stolen again. The state of Washington has been dealing with the theft of 420 and 69 mileage marker sign thefts for the past 20 years, and the department has gone as far as installing a steel post in concrete for one sign, which someone yanked out with a vehicle, to putting up a blank sign at one point between mileage marker signs 68 and 70. It seems people can't stop stealing these numbered signs. So, Ju, would you like a 420 or 69 road sign displayed proudly on your property?
Yeah, 69 for sure, because I'm immature like that. A 420, I can take it or leave it, I guess. 69? Yeah.
Let's go. Yeah, 420, at least that doesn't satiate you. At least 69 is dinner for two.
Yeah, it's general consensus. Everyone should know what that is. It's a number, guys. It's a number for bingo. 69, my favorite number.
Yes, of course. Of course.
Yeah. Bingo, B69.
I love the ingenuity of these governments here just trying to find all these different ways that it can stop people from stealing it, like just changing, just the idea that they even had to change the number to 419.99 is just absolutely incredible.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you can see sort of the mind ticking along in that focus group. What do we do about this sign? Is it the number itself? If we change that a little bit, will that curve the theft? It's just because 69 is a funny number. But the problem is, it's kind of like the Barbara Streisand effect, where once the government sort of starts doing something about it, if it's a local issue, those teens will notice that there's a change, and then it becomes a meme of its own to just start stealing that area, because it's kind of like a challenge.
Yeah,
right?
that's very unique. Be like, oh, they changed the number. This is a different number, and I want it.
It's teen slash, maybe younger adult shit.
Yeah.
you know, if they have access to a pickup truck or some sort of winching thing. yeah, it's interesting. I think that shit happens everywhere, to be honest. It's just a very young adult teen rebel thing. I don't know what the solution is, but I guess one of the solution is with the government is that they need to stop calling attention to it, wasting money on it, because it's just not a fight you can win. It's a fight against, like, you know, just maturity. Time will solve that problem for you.
Time will solve.
Oh, I love it. You mentioned before, Lockie, that, you know, they're going to keep trying it. They're trying these different ways to stop them. It's basically a real life puzzle game. We are a video game podcast here. These lads are just playing out a real life puzzle game. It's just a new level every time they either change the number on the sign or add some concrete. Oh, I love it.
It's an exercise in futility 5 years on. There'll be a new group of teens that'll be stealing shit, like, you know, because that's just what young'uns do. They you know, they rouse a little bit of rabble, cause a little bit of mayhem.
That's it. They're going to 420 on a 69 and be bussing and have Riz.
Yeah.
Hello and welcome to News to Reviews, your place to be for gaming news stories and also your place to be for impressions on the latest games coming out each and every week. My name is Zach and I am here with my co-host, Lockie. Lockie, how's it going?
Hello, hello. Hello, Zachary.
Oh, I'm extra excited to see you today. I didn't even realize until we started recording. But it's your birthday today! Happy birthday, Lockie! Yeah!
Hey. I'm the birthday boy, thank you.
Alright, let's do it. Happy birthday to you! Happy birthday!
Happy birthday to you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And for our listeners, if that didn't come through in the audio, Zach's beautiful dog, Archie, behind him was singing and howling to the song.
I don't know if any of that would have come through. Hopefully it does.
I'm not sure if it did, but it was beautiful. I could see it. Thank you.
Oh, no, the backup vocals of Soju.
Oh, yes. And making those lovely, lovely backup vocals is our wonderful returning guest, Daniel, aka Soju. Soju, thanks for being on the show once again. How's it going, man?
No worries. I'm almost about to be born. I have enough 3 months. it's been 6 months since I first...
Yeah.
Oh my goodness! Wow, you've gone through your podcast pregnancy period. You're almost in the third trimester.
Yeah, yeah, almost.
We can't do. Oh god,
that's terrible.
I regret it. I was making a terrible abortion joke.
We hold on to that.
Oh, forget about that. Look,
shameful.
In a few months. Soju, we can have you back on for your podcast crowning, and it'll be great.
Yes, yes. That's a bad analogy. I'm sorry, guys.
No, and why would I make such a joke? We're definitely keeping you. You're a beautiful baby boy.
Thank you.
Oh, dearie me, Soju. It's so good to have you on. How are you feeling now? You've got you streamed for 365 days straight. Did you miss any days? Was there any days here or there that you...
No.
Holy shit. That is absolutely incredible.
Even when I was sick, I did like no cam, just talking for 30 minutes and being like, what's up? I'm sick. Leave me alone.
You bloody legend. How's it feel to have that over and done with now?
pretty good. It's a good achievement to have under my belt, to be honest. Because I'm like, hey, I'm a small streamer, but I did a year straight.
It's a bloody incredible achievement, Soju. You should be super bloody proud. If I were you, I would have it in all the bios for all of my socials, my Twitter handle and all that sort of stuff. And speaking of all that stuff...
It would go in your resume. I would be kicking off with that and saying, hey, you want someone that's committed. I fucking streamed every day of the year.
Every day for 2020.
That's how goddamn committed I am to my goals.
Yeah.
That's hard.
There you go. Now, speaking of all your socials and whatnot, Soju, where can everyone find all your wonderful content?
I am SojuAU_ on everything, including the new, brand new social media, X.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
You know, they changed the name from tweet to just post now. The most generic possible thing you could ever think of, they've changed to. And if a retweet is now a repost. So they had such good branding there. They had something like...
Yeah.
People who so don't generic. Who've never even used Twitter...
It really gutted them.
...knew
branding.
What a tweet was, and they just got rid of... all of that. Oh, and forget about search engine optimization as well, too. Like, searching X.
It's because they want to bring all the conservatives and fundies back into the mix. So they've completely just axed all Twitter branding. Because what is it now? Their advert in their app store is Blaze Your Glory. Think about that for a second. Like, Blaze Your Glory. It's like, fucking calm down. You're just one person having an opinion. What, Blaze Your Glory?
It sounds like something that would be on, like, a Nazi propaganda poster or something.
Yeah, it sounds
like a war cry.
It sounds so militant and aggressive. And it's like, fuck, this is just meant to be social discourse. Mm-hmm. This is not like you're going to war. You can calm down. But anyway, that's the image they're going for. At least that's my take.
Apparently, the whole concept is they're trying to turn it into WeChat that they have in China, which is basically just a platform for everything. They chat, they do financial stuff on there. It's like a social media place where you can post stuff.
Turning it back into Facebook. Okay, great.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like, exactly.
Fuck. You know, none of this stuff is new. It's been around for the last, I don't know, 10 to 15 years. So, like, I don't know.
That's good branding.
Anyways, Soju, were there any places that we can find you that we missed mentioning before we got started ranting about X?
The main thing is...
Got opinions, damn it.
Twitch.tv. Mm-hmm. I play games. I'm a variety streamer. I am planning to do a 24-hour in September for September. So,
do you remember? Soju's gonna stream in September.
I think I'm gonna do an uncapped too. Take like 1 week off and do a uncapped September marathon.
Okay.
So, yeah. We'll try that. I haven't decided yet. Gonna play lots of games. Gonna do more like TCGs on my channel too. So if you like One Piece, Yu-Gi-Oh, and yeah.
Okay, no.
Gonna be fun. I love me some Yu-Gi-Oh.
Yeah.
I can't. How's Yu-Gi-Oh? How's the Yu-Gi-Oh franchise going these days? Last time I left them, they were on motorbikes in future kid gear. What are they doing now?
I have no clue about the anime, but
okay.
The trading card game is fucked. It's too fast. Yep.
Yeah. Well, I know where Kato Saiba. Wait, what's his name? Is that it?
Yeah.
I know where they ended Kaiba? Up, and it's right next to me on my desk.
Yeah, Kato Saiba, Seto Kaiba.
Seto Kaiba.
You were close, though, and I was like,
so close.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm like, yeah, We get
My brain was like, you're right, but something's not right.
Yeah.
Oh, dearie me. Well, yeah, like, unlimited subathons and stuff. So, Drew, if you didn't love streaming so much, I would say you're an absolute masochist because those are some crazy hours you're going to be streaming for. But good luck with all of that. And if you want to find any of that, all of Soju's links will be in the description of the podcast down below. And if you want to help News to Reviews out or any podcast that you like, the best way you can do that is by leaving a rating or review wherever you happen to be listening to the podcast. That's the best way you can help us get into the ears of more peeps, and it costs you no money and just a few moments of your time. That being said, lads, let's jump on.
So arguably it costs you the greatest, most precious resource of all, your life.
Yeah, your precious moments. So rather than scrolling through Twitter for 3 seconds, use that 3 seconds, or not, sorry, Twitter X. Use that 3 seconds to leave us a rate and review. We would very much appreciate it. Do it while you're doing your shit or something, you know what I mean? You're already doing your shit. You're captive to your phone. You may as well spend a few seconds leaving us a rating or review. And you know, it might make your shit come out better. I'm not going to say it will, but it might. It can't hurt. I know that. So try it.
Well,
anyway, let's talk about some gaming news.
Yep.
This first story comes out of GameSpot. I'm super excited about this. This gets me excited. It's written by Stephen T. Wright. Repairability has become a popular issue in tech and gaming spaces, and it seems that Microsoft has decided to apply the concept to its controllers. The company has now started selling controller parts on its online store for its Xbox Elite Series 2 wireless controller, as well as its standard Xbox wireless controller. Xbox Insider project lead Brad Rossetti posted about the program on Twitter, and it's been active for about a week now. The storefront includes a variety of different options depending on your controller's issue, from replacement input PCBAs to button assemblies and top and bottom cases. However, it is worth noting that the color options are currently black or white, so if you have a controller in a fun color pattern, you might be out of luck. The new push also comes with downloadable instructions for fixing your Xbox Elite Series 2 controller. However, those instructions state at the top that they require moderate technical skill and are suited for enthusiast professionals or those with prior experience in electronic disassembly. As such, if you feel out of your depth, it might be worth getting some help elsewhere. As noted by The Verge, Microsoft made an agreement with the advocacy group As You Sow back in 2021 to look into helping customers with right to repair issues. Several tech companies have proceeded in this direction as blue states have become passing right to repair laws, including Minnesota. One is currently pending a vote in California as well. Soju, I don't know if this is available in Australia yet. I will look into that. But I know at least in America, you can now buy parts to repair your Xbox controller and your Elite controller if you have one of those. What do you think about this, my friend?
I mean, it's good for gamers. Like, I know, well, mainly for Xbox and PlayStation. But Xbox users, like, I know there's a lot of people that do fix controllers, like, when they get stuffed up. So good for Xbox, like, putting the market on it instead of throwing out the controller, buying the new one. It just costs time, basically, instead of money. Well, money and time, but the money aspect of it might be cheaper depending on the fix.
I think we're going hard into philosophy in this episode because, yeah, it's kind of like there's two markets out there, right? Either you have the money and either you spend more to get to reduce the time associated with it, or you spend less, but there needs to be some sort of service or time factor. And which is allows for more accessibility for people that don't necessarily have all the money in the world. So, yeah, it I don't know. For me personally, I would just like to see an Xbox Elite Pro controller that doesn't have awful reviews, that doesn't require them to repair everything. I would just like the controller to work for a couple of years, and then I'm happy to buy a new one when it starts wearing out. And we really don't have that yet, because every time... Because I've kept my fucking eye out on those paddle Xbox Elite controllers, and every time I go to buy one, because I would love to use those paddles, I see like 50% dissatisfaction rate in the manufacturing. So, you know, they're kind of putting a hat on a hat in this situation, saying, oh yeah, now we're going to introduce this whole repair service. And it's like, maybe just fucking get the controller right to begin with first.
Yeah.
How about that?
Oh, Lockie, thank you so much. Like, I feel like this is still a good story. I'm still happy that this is happening. But yes, I remember a time on my PS2, you know, we were kids, like people, like, you know, some dumb little kid will come over and play with your controller and throw it around and shit. People spill stuff on your controller. I'd have PS2 controllers that worked the entire lifespan of the PlayStation 2. Now, cut to being an adult where I treat my controllers so fucking well, you know what I mean? Like, I've never once thrown a controller. Like, you know, the worst that could possibly happen is the odd drop once in a blue moon, but it's landing on carpet for fuck's sake. And I've had to return controllers. I've returned two dual sensors. I've had like paddle issues, and then one of them had drift. I've had issues with my recent Pro controller with the B button sticking for my Nintendo Switch. I work at a retail store what sells video games and controllers and whatnot. Xbox controllers, since I started there back in 2019, get returned constantly. Elite Series controllers, as you were saying, Lockie, probably a 50% dissatisfaction rate. I feel like half of those Elite controllers I sold came back to me within 3 or 4 months to be returned and then or replaced or whatever. They're fucking terrible. And you pay $250 Australian for them. $250 for a controller that is 50% chance of getting fucking stick drift on your 200. And at that point in time, your only options were to either return the fucking thing and get your money back, or, you know, you'd just have to buy a new controller if it was outside of its warranty. So I'm glad that they are adding these options here. It looks like it's about $24 US to get like the sets of buttons, to get the face plates that go on your controllers. It's $20 US to get like a replacement PCBA, which looks like some kind of motherboard. It's like $50. I think right to repair is a good thing, and I think, you know, we had that story recently about being able to change your batteries in your mobile phones and your controllers. I think that stuff's great. Whenever you can do something to repair your item that you bought with your own money for cheaper, I think that's always better than having to either return the whole item or buy a new item entirely, though I totally agree with you, Lockie. Just sell controllers that don't fucking break after a year or two, Xbox and Sony. Yeah. They all do it now. Sony and Nintendo. Joy-Con suck. Yeah. Dual sensors suck.
Yeah.
Xbox controllers suck. It's fucking annoying.
It's because one of the big issues there, I reckon, is because all of these sort of things are set in stone for the next 5 years production-wise. And so if there's a problem with it, it's like, well, all right, we'll have to sort that out in the next 5 years for whatever we release next, but we're set in stone. We have all these agreements with these facilities to produce this copy and this version of this across the world, distribution, everything. We can't change course now, and that's why we've had a shitty Xbox Pro controller for the last 3 or so years. So I've been waiting with bated breath for the next version, and all they're doing is just introducing this Build-A-Bear customization workshop bullshit. I agree. It's good in theory for people that can't necessarily afford to replace a new controller, but I'm not buying any Xbox controller until I get that base level reliability. Imagine in those Build-A-Bear workshops, right? You build... Like, yeah, there's all this great customization, but what if the bare base model is falling apart, the stitching doesn't work, and instead of fluff, it's filled with razor blades. That's basically what you're getting with the Xbox controller base model, pro base model as it is now. So, like, yeah, okay, I can switch out the tops of the sticks and what have you and the button plates, but that's not really the fundamental issue here. It's the razor blades that I really don't like cutting me when I play, you know?
Yeah. It's a disappointing trend in the industry, but it comes down to money. It must be far cheaper for them to make controllers the way that they're doing it now. And it's super disappointing. I hope that this comes in, though, across the board for all controllers at the very least, because we should be able to repair our own items that we bought ourselves and it shouldn't void the warranty or anything like that. So I'm glad at least right to repair is becoming more prevalent, and any moves heading more in that direction I think is a good thing. Though, yeah, you're right, Lockie. Get your shit right the first time. Now, speaking of getting shit right the first time, Nintendo got it right the first time, I guess, with Breath of the Wild. Because they sold a lot of copies. There was a lot of people really liked that
good
game.
Segue. Good segue.
And now, yeah, it seems like they've got it right again with Tears of the Kingdom. This comes out of gamesindustry.biz, written by Marie.
So they got it right the first time.
D'Alessandri. Nintendo has had success across the board during its Q1 for financial year 2024, with Zelda Tears of the Kingdom selling 18.5 million units as of June 30, the title released on May 12th. So that was in less than 2 months' time.
Yeah.
Sales across its video game platform business segment, which includes hardware, software, both physical and digital, and accessories, was up 44.6% year on year, reaching 2.99 billion US or 427 billion yen. And I forgot what year on year meant, so I had to look it up, and it just means compared to this time last year. So 44.6% rise, that is insane. I guess it makes sense because I don't remember what was coming out around May last year on Nintendo. I feel like they've been pretty quiet on the releases other than Pokemon games, basically. But yeah, Tears of the Kingdom absolutely killing it, selling 18.5 million units in under 2 months. Soju, what do you think of Tears of the Kingdom doing so well?
That's to be expected. Everyone's hyped about it. Good on Nintendo carrying on the hype from Breath of the Wild. Sorry, I have no idea.
Yeah, did you play it? Are you surprised that it's done so well?
Not really. I guess, like, the whole thing, how I knew about it, about big hype, was Matthew Mercer, my favorite voice actor, tweeted it out, being like, I'm the voice of so-and-so. I'm not going to spoil it.
Oh.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't think it's really a spoiler.
He's the voice of half of the characters in everything now.
So I'm like, oh, my favorite GM is voice acting this big character? The new Zelda game, that's hype.
Yeah. So did you play it? Do you think it's deserving of all these sales?
I think it is. I think for the Nintendo Switch, it's one of the main games that are driving Nintendo right now.
Mm.
I wouldn't say Pokemon. Pokemon has fell off, to be honest. but I feel like it's a staple now for the Nintendo Switch, like a Zelda game, and I'm riding that hype of the previous Zelda game, of course. Everyone couldn't wait to play it.
I just want to clarify with you, Soju, like, I agree with you when you say that Pokemon has fallen off. I'm not a fan of the recent Pokemon games. I think they need to take some time off and start coming out with some actual quality stuff. But the series...
I have opinions on this. Feel like Pokemon, if they just fixed up the bugs and the hardware issues where it chugs, I think at its core, Pokemon Violet and Scarlet were very good games.
Well, they sold 22.6 million units, which is more than what Tears of the Kingdom sold. So even though, you know, me and you aren't feeling the vibe Soju, it's definitely still a absolute pillar when it comes to Nintendo, like especially over the last couple of years when they haven't had any Mario or Zelda games. It's really what's been keeping them alive. Lockie, you played Tears of the Kingdom. Do you think it was deserving of having sold such a mammoth amount of copies?
Oh, yeah. Look, I think it's a quality title. I think it's deserving of its success. They pushed forward the Breath of the Wild model in some pretty significant ways in the creativity in the puzzles and shrines. They incorporated that a lot more effectively into the open world setting rather than just being all dungeon based. Very fun game, very engaging story and narrative, although there's a few moments where I definitely saw corners cut, and I would have suggested, there were so many moments where I would have preferred for a little bit of tweaking to be done, or I could see that they just had to get it out. For example, the companion scenes when you... It doesn't matter what order you go to in what temple, they all have the exact same plot and storyline sort of cutscene once you activate the stage card, and that's a Yu-Gi-Oh reference for you, Soju. And it's a it's an excellent game. I like seeing good games come out. I like seeing them being well received. I think with Zelda, though, it's kind of a given. They have so much money. They're a Nintendo flagship. So Nintendo actually does invest in the right amount of money for it to be a quality thing, and it shows. So I would like to see more games like this in different franchises. But beyond that, like, it was a very good game, but is it my favorite game ever? No.
Yeah.
And in terms of overall joy, this is where things are going to get really confidential. I enjoyed Pokemon Violet more than Tears of the Kingdom.
Whoa!
I enjoyed it more.
Burning up over that hot take.
Yeah, this is the thing. Like, Pokemon is a winning formula in gameplay, and it was their first foray into an open world Pokemon fighting game where you didn't have to worry about load times. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Once, like, there were so many problems and so many bugs, but once you sort of get past that and you just accept it for what it is, I had heaps of fun with it. I really loved that game. I really enjoyed the gym leader sort of cutscenes and the stories and the fights, and it just felt like the content kept giving and giving. It was one of their biggest Pokemon games I've ever seen in terms of overall gym leaders and gym fights that you get. And then you have your rival fights. Then you have all these other extra fights and this crazy ass ending, which was just incredible. Like really, that was way more interesting than anything that happened in Breath of the Wild, even though it wasn't polished. I would like to see more out of left field shit like that. I loved it.
Oh, nice. I'm glad you had such a good time with it, Lockie. And like, for me, Tears of the Kingdom, I definitely preferred over Scarlet and Violet.
And the rest of the world, rest of the world agrees with you. That's fine.
Look, the gym leaders were cool. Area Zero was cool. It's just everything in between I found very repetitive and boring.
The tired business salary man as the normal gym leader, and he just keeps coming back. It's just so fucking good.
Good stuff. They had some good ideas in there, 100%. And you mentioned, Lockie, that it was held back by the hardware that it was on. Now, one reason you might want to upgrade your Nintendo Switch is if it starts leaking, it is time for Somebody's Leaking. Now, I know it's not the first time we're reporting rumors about this, but these seem to be the most, I don't know, sort of real sounding rumors, the most with the most sort of, I don't know, backing up. Let's see what you think of this, lads. Now, this comes out of VGC and was written by...
Is it a post on X?
Written by Rory Mellon. According to multiple people with knowledge of Nintendo's next-gen console plans, the company is likely to release new hardware during the second half of 2024 to ensure that it has ample stock available on day one and to avoid the kind of shortages seen with PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X and S. Although specific details on the console are being kept closely guarded, those VGC spoke to indicated that the next-gen console would be able to be used in portable mode similar to the Nintendo Switch. Two sources VGC spoke to suggested that the console could launch with an LCD screen instead of the more premium OLED in order to bring down costs, especially considering the increased storage needed for higher fidelity games. The current Switch comes with just 32GB of internal memory, with many current gen PlayStation and Xbox games are over 100GB. Like its predecessor, the Nintendo console will also accept physical games via a cartridge slot, the sources said. Some possible specs and whatnot for the next Nintendo Switch, or at least the next Nintendo console here, Lockie. Any of that stuff there, I say, stand out to you at all?
Is that even a leak? That's like the bare minimum of what we can expect from their next generation console.
I would have hoped there was going to be a fucking OLED. I thought OLED would have been the bare minimum considering we already have a Nintendo console with one. The idea that they're doing an LCD is fucked.
That was their premium.
Yeah, it's like downgrading. I'm like, that's not exciting. I have an OLED here.
They figured out that they can charge the same base price plus several hundred more 2 to 3 years in their life cycle, just so people can upgrade to the OLED screen, and they don't even need to put any other hardware changes in that.
Fair enough.
I believe you have an OLED screen, Zach.
Mm-hmm. And I really think it looks pretty when I'm playing my games in handheld, and I think it's kind of shitty that won't be able to do it with higher fidelity games when we get the next console. It's like, oh yeah, your games will look better, but also in some ways slightly worse because you have a fucking LCD screen, which the OLED, for fuck's sake, the PS Vita had an OLED screen. That came out in like 2013, 2014. So I don't see why Nintendo can't do it. This cost stuff seems like a bunch of bullshit. They're probably still going to charge $400 US at least, I'd say, for this next console, which means in Australia we're probably looking at like $600, $700 or something like that. That's just my guess. I don't know. I think the Switch launched at like $550, $600 or something, didn't it?
Yeah. Look, while I don't think it's a good thing, and I agree with you, it's shit in the sense that like no one wants LCD, it sucks. I guess what Nintendo will argue when they start actually openly campaigning for this will be, oh, but we need to keep costs down so we can get this amazing machine out to as many people as possible because we want the whole world to enjoy it. And if you want to play OLED, if you want to see it on a great OLED screen, you can drop several thousand dollars at your home or whatever. So like I know that that's the line that they'll go with, and I'll say if they can get their hardware right, for me personally, I don't care what the screen looks like because I won't be playing it on the portable handheld screen. So yeah, it would be really nice if they could just have really good hardware that can compete in today's equipment at the 4K level, not 180p bullshit. That would be amazing, but I'm not expecting that. I'm not expecting anything from Nintendo. I'm expecting them to do the bare minimum, see what they can get away with, and they'll say fuck you, you're gonna buy the next Tears of the Kingdom or whatever they call it. So
yeah,
whatever.
So, Ju, you mentioned you obviously have a Switch. I know you love your Monster Hunter Rise and whatnot.
Yeah.
Would you pick up the whatever the next Nintendo console is going to be? Does any of the stuff I've told you make you less likely to do so?
Like, lucky. I don't play on handheld mode a lot, but having the option there is nice. Mm. So that stuck out to me, right? Mm. And why would I downgrade my handheld experience just to, like, play the next flagship game?
Yep. Because it'll be more Zelda, and they know that. They know they got you. They've known this for the last 20 years, and that's why Nintendo does not change.
I would rather wait until they do announce, like, another version of the new console.
For sure. The next OLED, the Switch 2 OLED, and they'll probably charge like an extra fucking $200 for it or something ridiculous like that.
We haven't seen a big Mario game release in recent times, so I reckon their next console or whatever their next upgrade hardware will be for Mario, the next big Mario release. Mm. Unless they've already fucking got another Zelda in the wings, and I wouldn't be too surprised, because I feel like they have enough capital and enough trust in the stability of that franchise to have several games in production, you know, at different, like, running concurrently, but for their next level releases and next gen releases, because that would, at least to me, make a lot of sense.
If they do it the same way they've done the last two Zeldas, I don't think we're going to see another one for another, like, 5 years at least, I'd say. But I'd say a new Mario is way more likely. And let's go. Give us an Odyssey 2. Or better yet, give us a Galaxy 3. That'd be great.
I'd love that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, let's speculate here. What would the next Mario game be? What do we think it'll be?
It'll be Odyssey 2, surely. Because it was so successful. I definitely like Galaxy better, but it was really successful.
Wondering if it's like Mario Fantasy.
Imagine if they bring out Galaxy and everyone's like freaking out about it.
What about Mario X?
It's the new Mario platform. It's going to be like a financial platform, a chat website, Mario X.
They drop the Mario name and they just call it X.
M.
Oh, dear.
Just the letter M.
They want to make sure that people don't go after them saying that they're too woke. They're like, how do we not get accused of being woke? Well, let's just... How the fuck do you do that? Anyway.
Look, just to briefly just touch on a couple of things from this article. You know, obviously this is a leak and these are all rumors. This is not guaranteed, but 2024 does sound like a very likely time for there to be a new Nintendo console based on the lifespan of the Nintendo Switch. It came out in 2017. And they also mentioned that it is likely going to have a cartridge slot. Now, the thing that gets me excited about that is that hopefully, finally, we are going to get a Nintendo next-gen console that we can still play our previous consoles' games on. Now, there's no guarantee of this at all, but I've got all my fingers and toes crossed. I feel like this generation jump more than ever, it is so necessary for people to be able to keep their game libraries, because I'm never going to want to buy a digital Nintendo game if I know that as soon as the next console comes out, that my money basically just disappears into the ether unless I want to keep my old ass console. So fingers crossed they're going to do backwards compatibility and you're still going to be able to play your Switch games on the Switch 2 or whatever the fuck it is. But who knows, because this is Nintendo and Nintendo gone Nintendo.
Yeah, I think they can. I don't think they will. For that exact reason, that then they can endlessly get a resale out of you, because nostalgia makes them money and it's a known revenue entity for a while now.
You're not wrong. Yeah. They're the worst with it. Like, they do things like release games that have a limited time frame for you to buy digitally and only release a limited number in stores. If you want to try and play Super Mario 3D All-Stars, you can't buy it on the Nintendo eShop unless you bought it previously, and now you can't buy new copies in the store either. So you're probably right, Lockie. Like, I'm just really hoping that they're not going to do that, because it is just the biggest fuck you move to all of their fans and consumers. But Nintendo, if anyone's going to do it, it's Nintendo.
They don't give a fuck about their fans and consumers. Like, I would need to hear that their CEO passes away and half of their executive top line gets axed because the board of directors wants to go in a different direction. Then they appoint someone like the head of Larian to come in. Then I would be like, oh, okay, wow, they're really, you know, they really want to make it customer experience, customer focus. But yeah, at this current point in time, I don't think we're going to see Nintendo doing any major course shifts. They're very much a money-making vehicle at this point.
Well, who knows? Maybe if the top executives at Nintendo took any financial advice from Yuji Naka, then maybe their their time's coming. Who knows?
Yeah, but then they'll just get replaced with someone that has the exact same ethos.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, I would need to see, like, a conscious change in direction coming at the top line for them to, like, yeah, give any amount of fucks.
Ooh.
About us little gamers.
Yeah. Anyways, I just thought that was some juicy leakage right there. Like, the idea of getting a new Nintendo console next year gets me pretty hyped. I'm down for that. A Nintendo console, it's not a complete potato. Let's go. If it's as strong as a PS4, I'm pretty happy. Yeah. You know what else makes me happy? The game's coming up in the next week. And we have Gord.
Of War.
Gord.
I don't know why that's making me laugh. It's not... It's not how, like, someone from Brooklyn would say God, which is God. Gord.
It's New Jersey, God of War.
Gord. It's not spelled G-A-W-D, it's G-O-R-D. That's coming to PS5, Xbox Series X, and PC.
And if it's Boston, it's Gardawa.
Gardawa.
Clam chowder.
Love that Pokemon.
Gardawa, yeah. Oh, there you go.
Tower of Fantasy. Coming to PS5 and PS4 August 8th. Also, so August generic. 8th, we have WrestleQuest. August 9th, we have 30XX coming to PC, Nintendo Switch.
August, damn. Elon's game.
Damn. I didn't know that they branded that game.
It's the most extreme.
I just got all the extras. I got them coming for days.
It's the most extreme bra size. If you manage to find a lady with 30XX, you're in for a good night. Let's go.
She's blazing her glory.
Atlas Fallen is coming to PS5, Xbox Series X, and PC.
Now, that's one you're interested in. So, Zach, I'm going to lead it into you because I'm not interested in this. How excited are you for
Atlas Fallen? Well, hang on. Also, August 10th, we have Stray coming to Xbox Series X and Xbox One. And funnily...
What? That came out 2 years ago. No one cares.
Yeah, it's coming to Xbox, but get this right. Also, August 10th, coming to Xbox. It's also coming to PS5, PS4, PC, Nintendo Switch, but coming to Xbox that same day is Stray Gods, the role-playing musical. So you have Stray, and then Stray Gods, the role-playing musical, coming out the very next day, which, if I'm correct, I'm pretty sure Stray Gods is the role-playing musical that has the entire cast of Critical Role. I'll need to double check that, but I'm sure Soju, that'd have you excited.
Critical Role is just everywhere now.
They're pretty hyped for that. I think
they got their fingers in all the pots.
I think they produced it. I'm not sure.
Is Critical Role the new Hollywood elite now that all the big wigs have been locked up? They've sort of just created a new Hollywood from the ground.
They took over. They made their own. They did make their own company, product company. So I'm pretty sure every week they have been promoting Stray Kids.
Stray Gods.
Is it Stray Kids? straight gods. My bad. My bad, Critical Role. Come after me.
I just think it's really funny that that Stray comes the same day that Stray Gods does as well, too. Like, no one's
no one's
keeping on track over at Xbox. Everyone's just straying. Oh, God. Lockie.
And also, we're straying. That's funny.
Lockie, any of these titles stand out to you?
No.
How about you, Seiju? Any of them stand out to you other than Stray Gods?
When I heard Tower of Fantasy, I'm like, nope. but the wrestling RPG one, I've seen gameplay of that. I'm really into wrestling and RPGs in general, the turn-based kind. So I'm pretty psyched about that one. So, yeah,
that actually sounds kind of
okay. Cool. I've changed my mind. Stray Gods looks incredible. I'm gonna get that.
Oh shit! Okay, gonna pull yourself away from Baldur's Gate for a little bit.
Yeah, for more role playing. Wow, we're really spoilt for choice. This is such a sleeper drop because this looks really. If you're into role playing, this looks really good. Because I've been playing a shit ton of Hades recently, and this is all Greek god pantheon role playing. Story rich music, yeah, I'm keen. This sounds great.
I need to. Look
it could be
into
shit, but I want to give it. I'll give it a chance.
See, the only thing that turned me off about Stray Gods is that it's a musical, which I'm not the biggest fan of musicals. And I think for a full game, if they're singing the whole time or most of the time, I'm probably going to get a little bit frustrated or just get over it eventually. I don't like when they sing all their dialogue, you know? Like, the musicals where they do a song every now and again, but they talk in between, I don't mind. But the ones where it's like, is that an opera where they sing all their dialogue? Oh, fuck that.
I don't know.
I think it is.
No, it's a musical.
I like creativity. I like people playing around with it. Sometimes it lands.
Musical
it doesn't.
Is where like they sing the vocals.
Okay.
They sing the voice.
It'll be that bloke. What's his name? Something Miranda.
Lin-Manuel Miranda.
That's it. Lin-Manuel Miranda. Yeah. It'll be like that. It'll be good. Anyway.
Well, I looked up GORD, and apparently GORD is gastroesophageal reflux disease, and it's a common condition where acid from the stomach leaks up into the esophagus. So, I don't know how they're going to make that into a video game, but it sounds so GORD is a top-down single-player adventure strategy game. It's given me a little bit of fuck. Not Evil West.
What are you talking about?
The game at the very start. Remember GORD? GORD. God.
Oh, I thought you were doing... God. I thought you... Oh, God.
Oh, God.
I don't know what happened there, but I just thought you had a brain fart and then we just moved on.
No, GORD.
Thought you misspoke.
GORD's a game.
Okay, there is actually a game. All right. Well,
GORD's a game.
It's called GORD.
There you go. Another top-down RPG. Wow.
Riding that train, yeah.
Oh, dearie me. But yeah, Lockie, you were right. Atlas Fallen is the game there that stands out to me. I have pre-ordered a copy of it. I have forced Hunter to pre-order a copy of it. I'm going to also force him to play it with me. And it's going to be... It looks okay. It looks like... It's so hard to describe it. It almost looks a little bit like... Forspoken, which is not a good thing, obviously, but you have like a hover, you don't have a hoverboard, but you like hover across the sand and the traversal looks really cool. And then the combat, as opposed to Forspoken, where it's third person magic, so you're just like throwing spells, which are pretty much just colored bullets at the enemies. In this, you're doing like cool, like Devil May Cry hack and slash shit. And it looks fun, and the enemies you fight look big and scary. I'm pretty interested. It's only one other person you can play with, so yeah, it's like a co-op adventure. But yeah, I'm keen to get into it with Hunter. But other than that, not much going on there.
Multiplayer action RPGs make me nervous.
Yeah, I think it's Focus Home Interactive as well too, so it's like AA style game. So it is very much. I don't know if it's going to be good. I'm not going to recommend anyone pick it up. Wait for next week to hear what I have to say about it, because it's
hold out for the reviews on that one. Yeah,
it's a wait and see for sure. But
fingers crossed. It'd be great if it was a good release. It's just, I don't know. Every time a game gets focused in the multiplayer space, I don't know, game makers just don't know how to create games that people can enjoy together.
It's hard.
Seems like an art that's been really diminished.
It's hard to do. I feel like we see more 10 years. Multiplayer games fail than any other kind of game, and like, you know, there's more than one reason for that, in that, you know, it's pretty oversaturated at the moment, and also you need to have a consistent lively player base in order for those multiplayer games to be viable. But yeah.
No. The issue is that, you know, we're gamers. You know, we might be lucky and have lots of friends, but most of us probably don't. And, you know, that multiplayer experience is kind of like a final... It's almost like saying you need to have a girlfriend in order to play this game. It's like, oh, well, fuck. I guess I'll pick up, you know, this other game that doesn't require me to have all these social relationships. Yeah. That's why I'm playing games.
Oh, that's
great. I'm going down hard, but I'm sure that I'm an introvert at heart, and I'm sure there's a lot of introverts that gravitate towards the video gaming sphere that would go like, oh, multiplayer, that's a bit of a tall ask at the moment.
I think it's because like people who enjoy multiplayer games, they usually already have their multiplayer game that they play all the time with their friends, and for them to either add another one to the roster or to move on from their previous one they've already invested a lot of time into, it's a big deal, so... Yeah. Anyway, that'll do us for the games coming up in the next week. How about we take a brief break and then we'll jump back on in with the games that we've been playing. Soju, you are our guest. It is tradition on News to Reviews for our guest to get kicked off with impressions. What have you been playing this week, my friend?
I've been playing... Honkai Star Rail, the brand new game by Mahoyo, or Hoyoverse, as they rebranded themselves. They did Genshin Impact, so, you know.
Okay, right, yep.
Okay. Yep.
Like,
so is this a mobile game?
It is a mobile and PC game. Apparently, they cancelled the console release of the game, but...
I wonder why they cancel it. That's crazy.
Like any gacha game, it's for free, in quotations, free to play. But then you can shake it up, roll the dice, and spend money to get awesome characters like... the chick from Appleseed, if you ever watched that anime movie before.
Johnny Appleseed is an American fable, I believe.
Yeah.
Of some dude that just went around America planting apple seeds, so that's what resulted in apple trees being everywhere. It's just so great.
Yeah, anyway.
So, like, in this Japanese anime version, is she, like, harnessing the ancient power of the apple to overcome, like, these alien god creatures that are trying to destroy their planet of Appledenia, Edenia, or something?
Okay, if you don't get the reference of the movie of Appleseed, it's my favorite anime movie.
Yeah.
You should watch it. It's basically... a dude that gets into an accident, he's a cop, and his wife is a cop as well. Or army.
He's just in a family of cops. Yep, keep
cops
going.
Or something. And then his brain gets transferred in a big, big mech robot. So it's awesome.
I was hoping you get to say a giant apple. Oh, but yeah, that sounds good. Yep.
So there's a character in Honkai.
Yeah.
Clara, that has a giant ass robot for Protector. So link those two. It's an amazing anime. Anyway, Honkai Star Rail. It's a typical gacha game.
Yeah.
If you don't like Genshin, like Breath of the Wild stuff. If you love turn-based games, it's basically that, but Honkai is basically Genshin, but turn-based for combat. And the story is like, yeah, we are anime girls, wifeys, husbandos, upgrade your stuff with money or just use your time and effort to grind those characters.
Yeah.
And then also, I'll touch on this. I've been playing some Diablo Season 1. Pretty okay. I think I'm not going to return to it in Season 2. That's all I'm going to say about it.
Oh, no. So is that Diablo 4 in their new Season 1 patch has launched? Yep. Tell me about it. What's going on?
Just basically stuff that they said they were gonna do. They had an emergency live stream saying, we're not gonna do that, don't worry. We're not gonna touch your classes. We're gonna buff everyone up before we nerf them. And then everyone's like happy, but it's a typical grind game of like, you do story and then you grind for better gear, better loot.
Mm.
And I think it services the mindset of like, I want to get overpowered really quickly. And same does numbers fly everywhere, eliminating enemies in like, 1.2 seconds is so satisfying.
Yep.
I play in the base game before Season 1. I played a necromancer, blood necromancer. Then Season 2, Season 1, I play a Worldwind Barbarian. So basically Beyblade, just rage and then just swing.
Just spin it's around fun. Your spinning top. Yep. Yeah. That's the barbarian. It's their whirlwind.
That's one of the best skills.
My question is, because I played the base game, and to be honest, I wasn't even able to get through the main quest line to like bother picking it up to finish off and do other acts. And I saw that download and I thought, oh, maybe I'll pick it up and see what it's like to see if there's new content or something a little bit more interesting, see how it's starting to evolve. And it says you need to finish the base game at least once in order to participate in this season, like this season new content. And I was just like, fuck that. So I didn't really feel any sort of compulsion to keep going. So my question is for you, what's your take on it? What would you say, thinking about players that maybe are a little bit, you know, they enjoyed enough to what the base game was, but they didn't really see the thrill in starting it all over again. Would this be enough to sway them with what they're putting out?
I mean, Season 1 gives you the option, if you have completed the campaign in the Eternal Realm, to skip the campaign and just grind. Yeah. Just skip the campaign and just start from level 1 and then just open world it, grind, and all that good stuff. But I feel like I had this rule of like, if Season 1 doesn't capture me, I won't go back to Season 2. I won't start in Season 2. And so far, I'm level 65 on Season 1. It is fun, but with the new mechanic of like the malignant hearts, it's not a driving force for me to continue to Season 2. To be honest.
So what is this mechanic with the malignant hearts? How does this work?
It's basically, it just gives you power-ups on, like, gear and stuff.
Okay, right. So it's kind of like a next level sort of legendary mechanic.
Yeah, but those malignant hearts do replace your gem slots, so
yeah. Okay, right.
Yep.
Yep. Oh, okay. Yep, so they're gem-based upgrades. Oh, kind of like runes.
Yeah.
Actually, not kind of. Exactly like runes. But they're just calling it malignant hearts. Okay.
Also, you can't pop them out like gem slots. So if you put them in your equipment, they can't be taken out.
So, oh, okay. Wow, how frustrating.
Yeah.
Why would they do that? What if the player fucks up and they try it out and they go, "No, this sucks," and they wanna respec it? They just can't.
Yeah, they can't. So
my
plan is to grind to 100 and then choose a malignant heart, get all my equipment to max, and then that's it. Anyway, that's my take on it. Won't be going back to season 2.
Yeah. Okay, so it's not sounding like it's a great sign for me to be motivated to finish the base game to play.
I mean, if the campaign's great, it's excellent. Yeah. But the end game stuff will drive you to a certain point if you have a goal to 100. But then again, when you go to season 1 or the next season, it's basically the same thing.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think with any of these live service games, if you're playing it all the time, especially from day one, they're only drip feeding content to you. I feel like it's never going to be enough to get you right back in playing as much as what you did at the very start. I think it always pays to wait a while for them to release a few seasons worth of stuff before jumping back on into it and having a good time. Like I know, like Fall Guys, when I jump back in now, they've always added new shows and new courses, and it's always a lot of fun. But if I play it all the time and they're just drip feeding a couple of new shows every couple of months, that's definitely not enough to keep my attention, that's for sure.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that makes sense, but also it's a bit of a problem because the whole point of that model is to get you going back to the game regularly to pay for like new shit.
Oh yeah.
New costumes and things. So like if they're not making it worth your while, then they're really fucking themselves up.
Oh yeah, you're right. But didn't they have the same criticism about 3 as well too? A lot of people said it wasn't really like a solid game until like a year or two after release, when they had a lot of good content, lots of like fixes as well.
Yeah.
Look, 3 was good. It wasn't a bad game. It was just a lot of issues around the auction housing and all that controversy. But once they sorted that shit out, it was a solid game. I enjoyed it. And yeah, you're right. Regular play, ongoing content. If you put down the game for a couple of years, go back to it, you're going to get a whole bunch of content for absolutely nothing. That's great. But it goes back to me thinking, like, why do they do it in such a way where they don't really put in enough content to keep people going? Because they're only going to not make as much money at the end of the day. It's Blizzard's shot to squeeze every last penny out of their players. So if they don't do it effectively, then I just don't understand the point.
Yeah. No, that's fair. Do you have anything left to say on Diablo 4, Soju?
World Realm Barbarian still is OP. You scream and then you spin.
Yep, that makes sense.
You scream and you spin. So
is Rogue still a fucking nightmare to play?
Rogue got the biggest buff, so
yeah. Okay.
It's one of the top character classes right now.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's nice to hear. They were struggling.
They nerfed Sorcerer.
Okay.
Yeah. Because of... Yeah. And everyone was like... nerfing.
But I want to point and click at things and I want them to die quickly. I mean, like, you know, I don't understand the whole point of nerfing. Just make everything a little bit more powerful to get to that level. You don't need to nerf and scale back the already OP stuff. Just overbalance with everything else. Otherwise, you are taking away the enemies from some players. Yeah, it's always been a weird sort of decision to rescale balances because it comes at the cost of existing player bases. So, yeah, I don't know. They should stop that. Well, is what I'm saying. All right, Zachary, I think that covers us. What have you been playing this week, my friend?
So just really quickly, I just wanted to mention, apparently the PS4 and PS5 versions of Honkai Star Rail are still slated to come out this year. Apparently they're expecting it between October and December. So it's still not 100% confirmed. There's no date yet, but it hasn't been cancelled as far as I can see.
Okay. So they pushed it.
So it's just
it
a bit
back up
in the air. Yeah, they've just given it a soft TBC.
I'm going to get my free trophies on my PS5. Thank you,
yeah,
Honda.
There you go. Fuck yeah. Let's trophy hunt. Ooh, and speaking of trophy hunting, I've had a really fun experience this week with a video game. So there's been a series that I played when I was a child, and I played it in the most 90s possible way that you can play it, in that I had a neighbor
Crisscross
who lived across the street who got a PS2, I believe, in 2000 or 2001, whenever it was that they came out, and they had a whole bunch of PS1 games that they weren't using anymore, even though they were backwards compatible. He's like, you know, here you go, you can have all of these. And it was handed over to me in one of those, you know, those old DVD booklet flip cases that would like zip up and you could hold like multiple discs in that thing that all the coolest people would have. That's how I
organized people.
Oh, it was full of all like these PS1 demo discs from like years of games, which is just a thing that doesn't exist anymore, and just a whole bunch of random PS1 titles. And one of those titles was Klonoa Door to Phantom Mile. Now, I remember playing this game when I was a kid and thinking it was, like, cool, but not something I ever would have picked up normally. And I never finished it. I remember I got to the last boss and I found it super, super difficult, and I never finished it for whatever reason. And then last year, we had the announcement of the Klonoa Fantasy Reverie series, which is the most just bullshit name they could have possibly came up with for it. But basically, it's a remaster of a 2008 Wii remake of Klonoa and a 2001 sequel to the original Klonoa, which was Klonoa 2. What was the name? Lunatia's Veil. Anyway, that came out in 2001. So I've decided to try the demo. I've been looking to pick this up for ages, but they were selling it for like $70-something, which, you know, for two games that old, no way. That's just way too much money, even with a remaster. And I started playing the demo and I was like, holy shit, this looks way better than I remembered. And yeah, that's because it wasn't the PS1 title I was playing, it was a Wii remake I was playing. And so it was on sale for half price, $35. Playing the demo, I only had to play one level, and just when I heard those sounds that I haven't heard since 1998 or 2000 or whenever it was, and I first grabbed one of the enemies with the wind bullets and which inflates them and then threw it, I was like, oh, I'm in. I'm 100% in. I've got to buy this game. So $35 it cost me on the PlayStation store, and it was so worth it. The nostalgia playing through that first game was just incredible. The music, as soon as I heard it, it was just giving me those feels. It makes sense why Disney has doubled down so much on nostalgia, because holy fucking shit, it's a powerful drug. It's a 2D platformer, but it's like a 2.5D, because, you know, Klonoa will run across like a path that will like weave left and right, but you're running left to right, if that makes sense. So the track will bend around and come back on itself and all this sort of fancy stuff, which you don't see too much of these days. When they do 2.5D, usually it has like a background thing you can jump into or something, or things in the background jump into the foreground.
Can I just check with you? That reminds me of another really good PlayStation title called Tombi 2. Have you played that before?
Is that the one where like one of the characters is like a jester looking kind of a thing, and that you can play as two different characters?
No. This one has pigs in it, and it's just absolutely batshit insane.
I've never heard of it.
It's an incomprehensible game with just this really beautiful style to it that I don't know, just tickles me pink.
Okay,
it's very. I'd say it's like very Japanese and very much like not intended to really be absorbed and grasped by Western audiences at the time. So it's just, it was a beautiful game. Anyway, sorry. See, nostalgia, powerful drug.
Yes.
You know what else is a powerful drug? Powerful drugs.
You're speaking facts here, Lockie. now, I never got to finish the original Klonoa game, as I did mention. And I never even played the second one, so I couldn't have really cared about that. But I got
It sounds like a disease, I must say.
Nostalgia of Klonoa.
I've got a bad case of Klonoa. And you go, ooh, that's a bad one.
Did you get tested?
Oh, yeah, you need to get tested. That? Yeah, yep.
Yeah.
Stay away from me, mate, until you're cleared, all right?
Look, Klonoa definitely sounds to me like an STI, but it sounds like one of the ones that could go to the doctor and they give you like antibiotics and that clears it up. You know, it's not going to be one that you have for life or kill you. Mm. So I'm on board with
very treatable.
Yeah, it's the fun STI.
Yeah, okay.
It's the one where it's like, oh, you've had a crazy weekend kind of STI. Anyway.
Sounds like a fun weekend.
Oh, dear.
So I never
talking about the game now.
Never got to finish that first game. So getting to go back through and finish the first game finally was an awesome experience. I was thinking it was going to be easy as anything because holy shit, getting from up to the last level was just easy peasy. But my god, there was a big difficulty spike. So I understand why I struggled with the last boss, because the last boss, you have to play through an entire level and then you get to the boss. Now there's a checkpoint right before you start the boss, but if you die enough times to need a continue, then you're stuck having to go back to the start of that level all over again, then getting up to that boss once again. And you'll lose all any of the collectibles that you might have found along the way, because that's how games used to be back then. But I think on it was like my third attempt of like, you know, doing the level to get to the boss finally, that I managed to defeat that boss. And it was, I don't know, the feeling of completing a game that I started, 23 years ago. It was just such a weird experience, but I absolutely loved it. Even the voices of the characters, they have not re-recorded any of the voices. So it sounds like, do you remember when you were a kid and you had a toy and the toy like would have it, you know, you press a button, it would say something, but it'd just be in the worst possible quality that you've ever heard? It literally sounds like that. When the evil guy is speaking, it just sounds like... and it's fucking great.
Oh, there's a Spider-Man game on PlayStation 1 that had voice acting in it, and fucking Venom was so funny. It's just wonderful.
Well, another cool thing about this is after defeating this boss, I didn't realize there was a whole nother boss and extra story part to it that went on after that I never got to experience as a child. Oh. So that was really cool. And there was even like this cool
bonus content
twist ending at the very end, which I did not expect. And I just, I don't know. It was just such a fantastic experience. I did play through the second one as well too, but I never played that as a child, so the nostalgia didn't fuel me like it did playing through that first one once again. But I did platinum the series. You got to play through both of them and get all the collectibles. So it's quite an easy platinum if anyone's looking for an easy platinum. You don't have to play it on the classic mode like I played it. You can just play it on an easy mode where you have unlimited lives and extra hearts, so you can just get through it like quite easily. I wouldn't recommend Klonoa to people who don't have nostalgia for it. It is quite a basic 2D platformer, though it has some like cool and fun mechanics, but you know, it's there's not going to be anything in there that you haven't already seen in games that came after it. But if you played it when you're a kid, this is easily the best way to play it. It like looks better than what I remember it, because it is a remaster of a Wii remake and it plays great. It was so much fucking fun. That nostalgia, that dopamine got me through my week. It was so great.
Yes. So this is a nostalgia porn game, and it sounds like a quality one if you've played it before, but if you haven't played it before, stay far, far away.
Stay away from Klonoa.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Get your shot for Klonoa so you don't end up contracting it somehow, that's for sure. I would give Klonoa, if you have nostalgia for it, I would say that this is a 9 Klonoas out of 11 STIs. But if you...
Oh, my God. 9 out of 11.
If you never... Zach. It's Archie's birthday. 9/11. He's born September 11.
Wow.
Yeah. And if you've never played Klonoa, then I'd give it 4 Noahs out of... 8 clones.
Oh, I thought you were going to go with Ark.
Let's go.
Yeah, all right. Didn't make a chlamydia joke at the end.
No.
I was waiting for it.
No.
Oh, well.
Yeah, I think we had enough.
That was classy of you. Instead, you went for the 9/11 joke.
I was not very even classy. Attempting to make a joke there. I didn't make the connection as I said it.
This is the highest of brow we've ever been. Oh, God. All right. Well, yeah, no, that sounds wonderful. I will just have a very quick update on my end. I've been playing a shit ton of Hades. Hades is the Grades. So everyone's heard that to, absolute nth degree on this show.
Oh, yeah.
If you haven't, get on it. You know, treat yourself. Enjoy. And I've just picked up Baldur's Gate 3. I have had the pre-release version for Yonkers, and I played it so many times. And even then, it took me an entire day to download the new patch, because Australian servers are not kind. And so I've only had a couple of hours sunk into the end game polished version. And my God, there's a lot of polish in there. You can really feel immediately. The controller support functionality for the PC version is really good. It's not perfect, but it's a hell of a lot better than it was in the pre-alpha release. They really are working on that. The only thing that I'd say is struggling in that space is their ability to interact with items. It's sometimes really hard to see what sort of items are available to interact with in the world, and then your ability through a controller to select onto them is really fiddly. You can only select left or right when you stop moving, and it'll try to cycle out and cycle through things and figure out what you're trying to select over and pick up, but it is not intuitive. Ooh. It is very much like, I don't know, brain dead. I would kind of prefer, if you're selected over those items, it would be nice if the D-pad could go up, down, left, right, so it's in the direction of the thing that you're trying to get to. That would be way easier. So take feedback, Larian. Hopefully you guys can work that in there. I believe in you. I believe it can be done. And I have complete faith in Larian. This game is extremely horny. So big PSA out to any D&D players out there. We thought it was horny to begin with. It is like, it's thirsty as fuck. you will have companions in the very first town if you have enough interactions that please them to go from hating you, being an absolute weird psycho, wanting to destroy the world sort of mentality to I want to be on you now.
Okay.
It is incredibly aggressively sexual.
Wow.
I feel like D&D.
Yeah. I feel like they've jumped, because this game is a big fucking game. We're talking about in the first couple of hours for a game that has at least 40 plus hours of content. I think there's been some sort of issue with their dialogue and romancing options, where their romancing stuff is coming in way too early. And I don't know. We'll see where it goes from here, but I think it's like blowing your load immediately. Like, you go on a date with someone, meeting them for the first time, and within 10 minutes you're like, do you want to just get out of here and just fuck
day in, day out.
Has that ever happened before? It's really confronting. It's like, oh shit, this is probably how women feel in dates where the guy's a bit too keen.
Shit.
Like, well, this is too much.
So it looks like in Baldur's Gate 3, you're going to be able to catch Klonoa. Look out. Oh, dear.
Yeah,
so keep your eyes peeled for that one.
Oh, yes. Oh, we'll have a lot to say about Baldur's Gate 3 next week, because we're having
Dragonborn penis. Also, sorry, quick character creation. You can play Dragonborn, so you got your lizard dragon men. And they show you, like, you have selectable penises, so you can either be cut or uncut. It shows you the penis on the characters, and they even have a dragonborn dragon fantasy penis as well. It's insane.
Wow. Did you go with cut or uncut?
Oh, cut, always, because, yeah.
How could you
look? I mean, because I'm cut. This is how, like, I want to see my penis on the screen. I don't want to see...
Haven't you heard of the intactivist movement? We've got to keep things intact.
Well, clearly that movement didn't take traction when my parents were around, because I'm not intact.
Apparently that's a thing. There's people called intactivists, and their whole thing is, like, no cutting them willies.
Look, I'm just working with what I got. To be honest, I like them more visually cut. But anyway, to each their own.
The more important question is, how do the dragonborn penises differ from human penises?
They look a little bit more fantasy, like those fantasy dildo, dragon dildo stuff that you can see online. Not like, yeah, so like a little bit like, you know, sort of scaly reptilian stuff going on, but not like super weird. Still like, yep, that's a humanoid penis.
Oh, okay. See, I was hoping they were going to go with like, you know, like a duck dick. You know, they got those like corkscrew fucked up dicks.
Oh yeah. Like,
that's go something yeah. weird. Like, why are we going humanoid dicks if
vanilla?
It's a lizard? Yeah.
Yeah, we got vanilla dragon dick. Nah, it's
what class are you playing?
I am playing I'm playing as a warlock, hexblade focus. So like very much he's a tanky dwarf, because they have no dwarven companions, and to be honest, dwarves are the hottest ones in there. Go the dwarves.
I'm very interested. I might just download it. It's straight after the podcast.
It's because they're the only ones that like are absolutely jacked, and they have like realistic sort of like anatomy ish going on, if not dwarf. You know what I mean? Like you can see the dad bod going on in that, but you can't get any of that in any other characters. They're all like absolutely cut AAA models, whereas this one's like, you know, a little bit more realistic.
Fuckable dwarves is what you're trying to say.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, if you want fuckable dwarves, be sure to download Baldur's Gate 3. And yeah, we'll be talking about Baldur's Gate 3 on next week's episode, diving deep into it with Andrew from The Inconsolables. So everyone look forward to that. But that'll do us this week for news to reviews. Soju, thank you so much for jumping on the show once again. As per usual, it is always fun to get you on the show. Thanks for being here.
No worries. Thanks for having me. Always appreciate it.
Oh, yeah.
Quite surprised that you would ask me on again. But Hey, I'm here. And
I don't know why you're surprised, Soju, because you're an absolute delight and you do great content there over on Twitch. So I will continue to get you back on the podcast as long as you continue to agree to appear here. So, yeah. Now, Soju, cool. Please remind...
So much consent going on in this room right now. It's wonderful. That's so wholesome. All right.
Continuing enthusiastic consent.
I can post it on X.
That's what we're all about on News to Reviews. Soju, yeah. I mentioned your wonderful Twitch content. Please remind the people where they can find all the stuff you do on the interwebs.
SojuAU_ on all social medias, including the new one, X. If you haven't popped by my stream lately, I've turned into a PNG tuber.
Oh.
So... you will no longer see my face anymore.
So PNG, really? That's Papua New Guinea, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's a whole thing. It's like a subcategory of VTubing. So basically, I'm just lazy, not showing my face.
Mm-hmm.
Slap it on, I talk through a soju bottle. My PNG tuber is really cute. So come by and say hi.
Oh, Soju is literally Soju. That's adorable.
Yeah.
Let's go. Well, all of Soju's links will be in the description of the podcast down below. And I thank you very much, Lockie. I could see how much you wanted to start ranting there when Soju mentioned X once again, but you held back. And
I've spoken enough on X.
We can post it on X, don't worry.
There is so much shit that we could talk about with X. My God, we haven't even talked about the big fucking light-up strobing sign that he put on top of Twitter headquarters held down by a bunch of sandbags across from an apartment building.
Okay.
It's a story for another fucking day. Anyway, Lockie, do you have any words of wisdom for us on your birthday?
Oh, thank you. Look, nothing new, but I'm just going to say to everyone, you know, just blaze your glory and keep on keeping on.
Blaze it.
Blaze it, 420, your story, steal them road.
69.
Exactly, steal them road, mark the signs.
Yeah, try to stop stealing signs, but, you know, in us saying try to stop it, it just makes it even funnier, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Lockie, have yourself a great birthday, and if it is your birthday while you're listening to this, I hope you also have a great birthday, wonderful listener. And what you can also do is take care of yourself. And take care of one another. Bus and I didn't know. I learned that from Aaron. Aaron mentioned
it. Oh, you've been speaking actual words, right? Sorry, yeah. I thought...
I don't know what bussin' means.
I thought I was
I think bussin's good. I think something's bussin'. It's a good thing.
Bussin'.
Yeah, bussin' for real.
You know what I
realize,
guys? Like, all this new lingo is basically someone cooking. Like, it's ingredients for someone cooking. Like, let him cook. Oh, it's based.
Oh, you're right.
It's lit.
But then what the fuck's buzzing?
The grills are lit. It's on grill. Yeah. Okay, right. Yeah, it is very food themed. Hey.
Yeah. Everyone's just hungry.
Yeah.
I guess bussing can be like, you know, bussing a table, right? So that's kind
of
food related.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, retail.
But then what's Riz?
Hospitality.
I've never used Riz in my cooking.
Riz is like a shortened word for charisma.
Oh, yeah. No, I.
Really?
Yeah.
I get that. I was just trying to make a cooking connection.
Yeah, I thought it was real, but with like that hizzy you know, language added, Pig Latin added onto it. You know, for real, for Rizzy, in the his house. Like, there is...
The next generation, man.
Yeah, there's like a generational logic there. As you're saying, it's the puzzle pieces. They're all there. There you go. Everything repeats itself, but just kind of...
Yeah.
Slightly different and from the old generation's perspective, shittier.
Time is a circle.
Yeah, for sure.
The earth is flat. Let's go.
No, the earth is a circle. Everything's a circle. We're all fucking circles.
Everything's a circle. Everything's a drum. Let's go.
Yeah.
Alrighty. What kind of intro that was? That was great.